we see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. God knew that. Jesus stood there silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love. Gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Feel like it's controlling you? What are you gonna do? I'm gonna shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't. You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. And I give him my sin. I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
I risk showing that one because I have to talk after it. I love that clip. It's one of my more powerful go-tos to reflect on what today is all about. And guys, as we prepare our hearts for communion, because that's the most important part of this message, is that you and I have to respond to it. It's not enough that it just happened. That's history, guys. The question is how do we leave in the light of that truth? I wish I had two exits we were walking out of. One marked freedom and the other marked captivity, because that's what happens when you walk out of the door today. You can walk back out of the exit carrying everything you walked in with. Carrying all the baggage of our sin and our shame and our fear and our legalism and all the weight, as if I have to do this myself. Or today, as we come and sit at the foot of the cross, as we enjoy communion, which is really about fellowship with Jesus. It's about saying yes to his forgiveness. It's about confessing to him. In other words, I'm telling him what he already knows, and I'm letting him whisper, if not shout, to me today, and I forgive you. Imagine walking out of that door today, feeling the weight gone. And in its place, peace and joy and freedom. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to have a time of worship. The band's going to begin playing again. And what I'm going to invite you on your own today, we're not going to pass out communion. You're going to be able to have a time to just spend some time with Jesus. And as you're ready, as you've had a chance to talk with Him and just share with Him the things that He's been stirring up in your heart, then you come on up and take the cup and take the bread. And some of you are here on your work break. I totally understand. If you need to make your way out of the room, please feel free. All we're going to do is, at the end of communion, we're going to pray and send you on your way. But this time is a time for you and I to respond to this message of grace, this message of freedom and forgiveness. Who can take communion? Do you need to be baptized? Do you need to be a member of the church here? No, you need to be a follower of Jesus. You need to have been able to have said, Jesus, will you forgive me? And if you've experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, then you know what? This is for you. Let's pray. Jesus, as we sit here at the foot of the cross, reminded of what the gospel is all about, your love, your rescue. Lord, this is not cheap grace. You paid the ultimate price. You gave everything. You were treated like Barabbas so that we could be treated like sons of God. If that's you today, if you need to just say, Jesus, I want to say yes to you. I want to leave here with freedom and peace and grace and just stop where you are right now and just say, Father, would you forgive me? I accept the offer, the sacrifice of Jesus in my place. I need forgiveness. And believer, if that's you, if you have been carrying around, devil's been blackmailing you, holding stuff over your head, well, today is yours and my opportunity to say the cross is enough. I'm going to walk in the newness of God's light and in His love. I encourage you, as you come up and take the bread and you take the cup, renew your covenant like renewing your vows with Him and walk out today in peace. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, when you're ready, come on up and partake. God bless.